radio's home, folks. Think and Save.
Oh, boy, what a day for a picnic. Just look at that old ocean rolling in there.
Bill, be careful.
Huh?
You'll get sand in the cake.
Oh, gee, Ann, I'm sorry. Say, what kind did you make?
Coconut marshmallow. See, it's three layers.
Yeah, golly, it looks good. Can I snitch a taste before the others get back?
Yes, but just a little one now.
Okay. Gosh, you're a whiz, Ann. No wonder you're always elected to bring the cake on a picnic. You make the best cakes I ever tasted. They're light as a feather.
You know, Ann may only be a youngster, but she's put many a seasoned housewife to shame with those lighter cakes she bakes. That's because Ann has found out about new Sure Mix Crisco. And you know, she tells everybody that this new Crisco is what makes her cakes lighter. But some folks find it hard to believe that a shortening can make much difference in the lightness of a cake. You see, they don't realize that Sure Mix Crisco is a different kind of shortening. That it's made by a special process not used in a single other shortening you can buy. Actually, we don't know of another shortening that can make your cakes as light as Crisco. That's a fact. Because this new Crisco is what we call an active blender. Why, it's downright amazing to watch the way Crisco reaches out and mixes your flour and eggs and milk together. Notice how completely Crisco blends them. You get the smoothest cake batter you ever poured into a cake tin. A satin smooth cake batter. And you get lighter cakes. If you want lighter cakes, it's purely up to you. Crisco is waiting to give them to you. Make your favorite cake. Use the same recipe, the same ingredients you always have. Change nothing but your shortening. This time, use the new Sure Mix Crisco. The cake you take out of your oven will show you that Crisco gives you lighter cakes than any other shortening.
Sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rush Gook. The former has just arrived home from the office and is listening with great absorption to a recital of recent events as narrated by his son.
He said these five fellas in Hunkerman, Maine were very anxious to meet you. He said they'd all be greatly honored if you'd make the trip.
Where was McDancy telephoning from?
Well, I don't know. East Spring, Oregon, I suppose. Ain't that where he lives?
Yeah.
It was a long-distance call, I know.
How could you tell?
When I picked up the receiver, somebody asked if this was the Gook residence, and I said yes, and then they said, here's your party.
Uh-huh.
That proves it's long-distance.
Uh-huh.
I expect we talked 5 minutes or better. I even took notes. Here's a list of the five fellas that are so anxious to meet you.
Why do they want to meet me?
They've heard so much about you.
Where did they hear so much about me?
Mr. McDancy never said.
Well, I can't make head or tails to this.
Well, here's the five names. Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, T. S. Slank, and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
Never heard of a darn one of them.
According to Mr. McDancy, they'd all give their shirt off their back to shake you by the hand and make your acquaintance.
Hi.
Everybody home?
Yeah. When did McDancy want me to make this trip?
September 20th.
You say anything about expenses?
Yes. He said you'd have to pay him yourself.
Whoa, thunder.
Hi, howdy-ho, people.
Greetings, ma'am.
Hello, say.
Hello. You want to hear some wild, crazy little gossip?
Yeah.
I've been over to Miss Donahue's just now. The story she had to tell on Miss Elders.
Mm.
You'll throw your shoes over the People's Bank building.
Well, I'm about to do that anyway.
Why? What's the matter?
Hippopotamus here just had a long-distance telephone call from Homer U. McDancy.
The Oregon fellow?
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was calling from Oregon or not. Operator never said. But it was long distance, okay.
What'd he want?
Wanted me to travel to Hunkerman, Maine and meet some chums of his.
What for?
Just to be meeting them, I guess. Describe the conversation, George.
Well, I was sitting here looking over the Third Lieutenant Stanley book I borrowed off in Vernon Pagel's. It starts out very interesting. Seems Lady Margaret and Third Lieutenant Stanley are in the power of a gang of counterfeit and deep-sea doctors.
We don't want a book report, Alice. Please skip the literary embroidery and get down
to the... phone rang. I rose from my chair to answer it, thinking it was Bluetooth Johnson or Leland Richards or Rooster Davis or Leroy Snow.
Okay, friend. I'll take over. Homer Hugh McDancy was on the wire. He tried to reach Smith's office, and I wasn't there, so he called home. Not find me at home either, he left his message with Stone Bruise. And his message, from what I gather, is that he'd like to have me travel to Hunkerman, Maine, and meet these five pals of his.
Who are they?
Read them off, Laura.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, T. S. Lang, and Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
Well, are they anybody you've met before?
No. Not a single name is familiar.
What's the idea of it?
Search me.
Well, the idea of it, according to Mr. McDancy, is that these five guys are just dying to make Cubs acquaintance.
Why?
They've heard so much about them.
Do they live in Maine?
Yeah.
Well, how'd they be likely to hear anything about you in Maine?
I don't know.
Are they lodge fellas? Sacred Stars of the Milky Way guys?
No, they're not.
They're not?
No, because I asked Mr. McDancy.
Are they Consolidated Kitchenware Company men?
No.
You asked McDancy that question, too?
Uh-huh.
It don't make sense.
Certainly don't to me.
How'd you get so famous in the state of Maine, Gov?
I'd like to know myself.
According to Mr. McDancy, these five guys are just chewing their fingernails. They're so feverish to make your acquaintance.
Well, where in thunder did they hear of me? I never been to Maine. I doubt if they could have heard of me through McDancy because he lives in Oregon. I don't think he's ever been either. Of course, if they were Sky Brothers and the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way, they might have read about me in the Lodge magazine. But you say they're not?
No, I asked especially.
And if they were employed by the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, they might have read about me in the Kitchenware Dealers Quarterly.
They're not employed there.
Read off those half-wit names again.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L.
Well, now, wait a minute. Read them still slower than that.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gix, Q. L. Cunningham, T. S. Lank, Urquhart Pugh Urquhart.
No.
Urquhart is Miss Scott's brother's name.
He's not a state of Maine slob, is he?
State of Iowa slob. Hmm. Well, you're not going to go on any such a foolish expedition, are you?
I doubt it.
What it probably boils down to is Homer U. McDancy is addled in the head like that H.K. Fleaver chum of yours.
Ah.
I'll tell you the funny little gossips about Miss Elderson.
All right.
Craziest business.
Hmm.
Her and Mrs. Call had a quarrel. Hmm. And here's what happened. They were sitting in Miss Elder's living room. They got in this argument, and the argument got, quite bitter, I guess. Very harsh remarks was exchanged. Well, sir, Miss Elders has a temper that'll choke a horse.
Mm-hmm.
She rose from her chair and said, I believe I will get my hat and leave, Miss Call. I feel that quite enough has been said. And she marched out of the room, into the hallway, slammed her hat on her head and went outdoors.
Yeah.
I bet you don't catch on to what's comical.
Is something comical?
Do you catch on to what's comical, Rush?
No.
She got up and marched out of her own house. See, it was Miss Elder's living room they were sitting in.
Oh.
She marched out of her own house. It was excitement, I guess, made her do it. She must have let herself get the impression she was in Miss Call's living room. Anyway, she found herself out on the street with her hat on and no place to go. And you know what that dickens of a Miss Call does?
What?
Stayed inside. Stayed inside. Oh, for maybe 10 minutes. I think that's the funniest thing I ever heard of. Miss Call told Miss Donahue, and Miss Donahue told me. We just howled. I believe I will get my hat and leave, Miss Call. I feel that quite enough has been said. And she went striding and snorting out of her own house, never realizing. Oh, boy, I call that rich.
McDancy, say anything else over the phone that might give us a clue to this mystery?
Well, I think I've told you the entire conversation.
That's so incredible. Why would there be five guys in the state of Maine anxious to meet me?
Couldn't say.
And even if there were five guys in the state of Maine anxious to meet me, why would Homer U. McDancy spend money on a long-distance telephone call to ask me to pay my expenses clear across the continent to meet them?
Couldn't say.
I bet Homer U. McDancy is on the H.K. Fleaver order. Not all there in the upper story.
Sounds to me like an ambush.
Ambush?
Yeah. Homer U. McDancy might have turned crook. He's trying to coax you away from home way off there in Maine. Once he gets you in Maine, he'll steal your watch and pocketbook.
Oh, gosh.
For one thing, these names look fictitious. Ollie J. York. I call that fictitious as a horse. B. Donald Gick. Fictitious as a horse. Q. L. Cunningham.
Fictitious as a horse.
Sure. And also T. S. Slank and Urquhart, Pugh Urquhart.
Fictitious as a horse.
Darn right.
Awful, awful funny, huh, Vic, about Miss Elders?
Yeah.
Found herself out on the sidewalk with no place to go. Got so excited with her quick temper and all, she was under the impression she was marching out of Miss Call's living room. Oh, boy, I call that rich. Well, hey, here, I better trot out and see about supper.
Need groceries from the store, Mom?
No, I'll have to investigate the pantry and see.
Oh.
Better not call off any place till I make certain.
Okay.
I don't suppose there could be five guys in the state of Maine that had heard so much about me they wanted to meet me.
Huh?
You?
Gee, I wouldn't know that.
No.
Huh?
Be impossible.
Huh?
Shuck. Read off the names again.
Names of the guys that are dying to shake you by the hand and make your personal acquaintance?
Yeah.
Ollie J. York, V. Donald Gicks, Q. L. Cunningham, D. S. Lang, and Urquhart, Pugh Urquhart.
Concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And here we leave Vic and Sade until the next time.
You know, one of these days, Stone, I bet your folks would love a big platter full of fried eggplant, sliced real thin and dipped in beaten egg and then fried all brown and tender. Oh, boy. A dish that's a real treat. And you know, you don't have to worry about that eggplant being greasy or indigestible if you fry it the Crisco way. Because, you see, this pure, all-vegetable Crisco is digestible. Yes, ma'am. Why, in answer to a question sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. But then Crisco is so fresh and sweet and snowy white, you know it won't turn out heavy, soggy fried foods. No, ma'am. Remember, SureMix Crisco is the new kind of shortening that can make your cakes lighter than any other shortening we know of. Yet Crisco is so economical, you can use it for all your frying, too. It costs only a few pennies a week to fry with Crisco. And just wait till you see what a wonderful difference this pure, all-vegetable shortening can make in your fried foods. Don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Hurley speaking.